Hi, everybody. Welcome to Podcast of a Lady on Fire, where we explore the filmmaking, themes, and community involved in Celine Sciamma's Portrait of a Lady on Fire. We are your hosts. I'm Laurel Hachinova.
And I'm Audrey Nee. And today we've got part two of our listener responses series. If you haven't listened to the previous episode, part one, we recommend starting there first and then coming back or doing whatever you want. We're not here to tell you how to live your lives. I did want to make a correction, though, because in the last episode, I did say this was going to be a three-parter. I think it might be more than that. So we're just not going to say how many.
I hope you're comfortable with ambiguity.
Yeah. And today we will be talking about whether Portrait is your favorite film. If you didn't know if it is or not, we're here to tell you yeah. that. And also, which other films have had an impact on you, had a similar impact on you? Get ready. Put on your
portrait shorts.
Boots.
Put on your portrait outfit.
Strap in.
We've got a couple of quick disclaimers before we dive in. Neither of us speak French. So if any of you have written French into your responses, well, you know, we'll try. But apologies in advance if we pronounce anything incorrectly, including your names. Sorry. And also, this episode will contain spoilers, not just for Portrait, but also potentially for like a couple dozen other movies. So we'll see.
That's like the worst warning ever.
If you haven't seen every movie.
Yeah, if you haven't seen every single movie ever, then.
Spoilers.
All right, let's dive in.
So we do have a bit of breaking news.
Oh my God.
It's not breaking. Nothing.
There are big quotes there.
I know.
Big air quotes.
Thank you to Iced Honey Lemon Ginger for sending us this via Instagram. There is a new to us, IMDb entry for Les Olympiades, which is a new film that has Celine Sciamma in the writing staff. It also has Adrienne Tomine, who is a comic book artist, graphic novel artist. And those were the two names that I remember. Do you remember anyone else off that list that is?
I don't, but it is based on Adrienne Tomine's comic Killing and Dying. So that would explain probably why he is part of the writing staff, I'm guessing. But yeah, pretty exciting.
Nice. Yeah. So thanks for that find. That's something to look forward to. It looks like, was it production starts?
I think it's in pre-production and it's directed by, do you want to pronounce this name? Jacques?
Oh boy.
Jacques Audiard.
That's in, yeah. Jacques Audiard.
Sure.
Oh man. Yeah, I can't. It's fine. Oh, casting is by Christelle Barras.
Oh, that's right.
So that's cool. Yeah.
Super exciting.
Our favorite midwife / angel maker / casting person.
The story supposedly deals with adolescence and revolves around female protagonists, so.
Oh, perfect match for Celine.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Now let's really dive in.
All right. Yeah, let's dive in. So our first question was, would you consider Portrait your favorite film? And of course, this is a completely unbiased scientific survey, which we only release to the Portrait community. So completely representative of the world at large, clearly.
And in case you did not listen to the previous episode, all these questions were posted in our Instagram stories. And this one was a poll for context. How did you feel about this? Were you surprised here?
No. Yeah. I mean, it's like,
no.
We're a podcast of Lady on Fire. We posted this to our Instagram account, which is only seen by people who follow our Instagram account. And, you know, I assume they follow it because they love Portrait. Well, I guess it is maybe kind of surprising that they would consider it their favorite film, especially because it was 96-4, yes yeah. to no.
Yeah, I mean, you could have been surprised the other way, right? Like that it wasn't 99% or something, but...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
I think before we saw the results in my head, I thought it would be around like 95-5. So this is very accurate to me, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
For what I imagined. But you're right. That's a really good point because this film just came out, you know, a year ago, last year.
Right.
So that's not a lot of time for something to rise to the top. But on the other hand, we're here recording a podcast dedicated almost entirely to this film. So it wouldn't be surprising that a lot of people consider it their favorite film.
Well, I wonder if we had said, is Portrait one of your top three favorite films or like top five, if it would be 100%, you know? Which I assume it would be.
Yeah, I think it would. I think it would be.
But your top favorite film is kind of, that's kind of cool.
Based off of the, you know, the other question of other films that had an impact on you or similar impact on you, it seems like based on those responses that if it wasn't your favorite film, it was like in the top two or three, like you said. Mm-hmm. But we did get a couple DMs from people who were kind of insulted that we even asked this question. I mean, I don't think it was serious, but it was like, are you kidding me?
Right, yeah.
So appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the second question that we are going to answer today is, have any other films or media impacted you similarly, and which ones? So we got a lot of really great responses. I would say overall, in general, I mean, there are some exceptions to this, but I would say in general, people were like, nothing close, but here are some movies that, or other things that had a similar impact. Probably unsurprisingly, there was quite a bit of overlap with the films that had an impact on you, but there were also some surprises. So what we'll do is we'll go over everything. Get ready.
Get ready.
Okay, so we'll start with the ones that only had one mention, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Bear with us for a moment as we read this to you.
Okay.
In the weirdest way possible. First one is 1917.
A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Ad Astra.
Amelie.
Antonia's Line.
Big Little Lies, which is a TV show.
Oh, sorry. I should have mentioned that this is film/TV. I loved Big Little Lies. I thought it was really entertaining. Blue is the Warmest Color. Only got one vote.
Hmm. Yeah, that was kind of surprising to me too. Mm-hmm. Bohemian Rhapsody. Wait, Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie or the song?
Based on the other things they said, I'm going to say the movie.
Okay, fine.
Boys Don't Cry.
Britney Runs a Marathon.
Buffy, the entire series. I'm actually surprised that only got one mention as well.
Yeah, that's true. Huh, interesting. But I'm a Cheerleader.
Also surprised there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Caro Diario, which is an Italian film.
Cider House Rules.
Cold War.
Curiosa.
Oh.
Noemi.
Dancer in the Dark.
Dead to Me, another TV show.
Elisa y Marcela, which is a Spanish film.
Fingersmith.
Fucking Amal.
That one has another title, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Show Me Love.
Fun Home.
Do you think that was the play or the comic?
Oh.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know why I put it in this category. This belongs in a whole separate category.
Oh, interesting. Well, if they meant the play, then maybe it belongs here if we're doing TV shows too.
Sure. Happy Together.
Heavenly Creatures.
Imagine Me and You.
It's in the Water.
Kissing Jessica Stein.
I like that this is basically an alphabet of lesbian movies. Almost. Like,
almost.
Some of these in here aren't lesbian, but still, it's fun. Anyway. La Belle Saison.
La Jetée.
Lady Bird.
Little Women. And specifically the 1994 Little Women, which is,
interesting.
I have to say, also my favorite version of Little Women, but we can get into that later.
Oh, interesting. Looking for Langston.
Maid Chen in Uniform.
Marriage Story.
Orange is the New Black.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Orlando.
Nice. Orphan Black.
Parasite.
Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Persona.
Rocket Man. Oh, I keep thinking this is The Rocketeer. It's different. Anyway.
Oh, I love The Rocketeer. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
San Junipero.
Only one vote.
I know.
Bye.
Oh, no.
Saving Face.
Sister, My Sister.
Some Like It Hot. That was a surprise.
Spotlight.
Tell It to the Bees.
The Hours.
The Last Samurai.
The Lobster.
The Miseducation of Cameron Post.
The Nightingale.
The Notebook.
The Shawshank Redemption.
The Way He Looks.
The X-Files.
Three Colors Blue.
Titanic.
Wendy and Lucy.
When Night is Falling.
Old school. And Winona Earp. Okay, so those were all the ones that only got one mention. Before we move on to the ones that got more than one mention, I have a question for you, Laurel.
Okay.
How would you have answered this?
The first film that comes to mind, and I feel like I'm going to kick myself for not putting more thought into this, is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the way that Michel Gondry depicted dreams. Mm. I like the concept a lot, the idea of erasing bad memories and whether or not that's actually a good idea. But then also the way that he depicted dreams and dreaminess, I thought was really well done. It didn't feel heavy-handed the way that my vague memories of like what dreams may come did.
Yeah.
Which was just like, everything is a Monet, or, you know, I don't know if I'm even remembering it correctly, but it felt like dreams that I'd had. Like, there's this one scene where Jim Carrey's character is trying to see the face of the guy that his ex, I guess, was dating at the time or something, Kate Winslet. Mm-hmm. And it's Elijah Wood in a swivel chair, and he keeps trying to turn him around.
Oh, yeah.
But every time he turns him around, it's just the back of his head again.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and then there was this one part where he was, like, running through stacks of books, maybe in a bookstore or something, because I think that's where Elijah Wood worked, and all of the spines were blank or something. Mm. And it was just, like, that set design that really got me, and I think it actually really got me because I was working in a bookstore at the time. Yeah, so just everything all together, I felt impressed on me what films could be in a way that I hadn't felt before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember seeing that in theaters a billion years ago and thinking, like, this is this is different. This is like a new way to, like you said, you know, look at cinema or make cinema, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to go back and watch it. It's been many years.
I think it was also like, it felt kind of casual about it too. Like,
right.
It didn't feel like he was like, oh, look at me. Look at how smart I am and all these like effects and stuff. It was just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Like it's super fundamental to just him as an artist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you would add since it's not just film? It's films.
Oh, man. I wish I'd given this more thought.
We're so prepared.
How about you? Why don't you answer
okay.
while
you
I
can
think
about it.
It.
Well, yeah. So I thought it was interesting seeing this list from everyone because definitely some of these films, too, had very similar impact on me at the time, right? And now that I am living in the present time versus living in the past, it's hard to compare it because it does feel like Portrait has had this like profound impact on me. But I remember seeing Heavenly Creatures when I was a baby gay, and for a long time I considered that one of my favorite films. But that really like shook me. Obviously I hadn't seen as many films back then and or any lesbian thematic films, I guess. So that was pretty incredible. And I think it was like a much darker time for me, so spoiler.
Oh yeah, spoiler.
You know, like brick in sock murder was, let's just say there's some pretty horrific ideas and imagery in that film. And it's based on a true story that I feel like I was more sort of open to appreciating. Not that I wouldn't appreciate now, but I feel like I'd look at it with a more sort of critical eye, I guess. Or maybe I should say it wouldn't necessarily have had the same impact on me because I was definitely more impressionable back then.
I think that was the first lesbian film I can recall seeing.
Yeah.
Or a film where the lesbians were like the protagonists, the main characters. I saw it with my dad and it was really
no.
like...
What?
Yeah.
What?
I don't think either of us really knew what we were getting into.
Oh, wow.
Because we would just like go and, you know, rent DVDs. I would stay with him on the weekends and we would just like watch stand-up comedy and rent DVDs and stuff and listen to jazz or whatever. And it was just like, oh, cool. This looks cool, you know. And then we popped it in. We were just silent the whole time. And
wow.
I feel like the goth vibes I liked
and
I didn't have a way to articulate why I liked it. And then the lesbian stuff as well was just like, oh, this is, oh, I don't know what's happening, you know, like, because brick and sock murder, there's my dad, what are they doing, what's happening, what am I thinking about this, and yeah.
Did you already identify as lesbian at the point?
No.
Oh,
no.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
So I think it just sort of like embedded itself in my mind as an interesting thing to check back in on later.
You're like, this is what lesbianism is. It's kind of nuts to me that that was like Peter Jackson went from that to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I mean, there were probably things in between, but I don't know if I could have mapped that.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
But, you know, this is in our list too, but Lost and Delirious, because I was a baby gay, like, you know, that had a huge impact on me at the time.
Yeah.
And then I mentioned Little Women. I do love both versions, but I have a real soft spot for the first one because I was a huge Winona fan. Still am. So any Winona movie, like Beetlejuice, but... Yeah. So, there have been a lot of films that have had a huge impact on me, but it's hard to say like whether they've had the same impact because it's hard for me to detach myself from my present state of mind, which is very much in like the portrait world, right?
Yeah. Well, and contextually, like it's important because I think maybe these films did have the same impact. Probably not quite the same impact, but at that point in time, you know, it's like...
That's a good point.
Based on who I was and what I needed, that's where those films popped in, you know?
Yeah. I mean, imagine if you saw Portrait back then, though. I feel like, imagine being 16 or 17 and seeing this movie. Like, that's it.
Yeah. If you were 16 or 17 listening to this podcast and you've seen this movie, I would be interested in hearing what that experience would like.
We've had a couple people message us who are, in their teens.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll ask them to come on the show.
Right.
Oh, and then the other one, which is not surprising to anyone, I'm spoiling our podcast, but Carol was a huge... I remember seeing that in a similar context to Portrait where, well, I love Cate Blanchett, but I went to see this as part of like some SF gay thing, and I was not sure what to expect. And I remember having a similar reaction to Portrait where I was just sitting there afterwards like, whoa, what did I just see? I think because of the way that female gaze was approached, which even though this was directed by, you know, Todd Haynes, who is not a lesbian, as far as I know, the female gaze was sort of regarded and respected in a way that I don't think I've seen in a lot of other films. So,
yeah,
and plus Cate Blanchett. But
they felt very empathetically portrayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to our list. So now what we're going to cover is anything that got a handful of, basically more than one mentioned, but fewer than
five?
Several. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, so we'll start with Gentleman Jack got, you know, a handful of votes.
Lost in Translation. That's interesting to me that that got...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, more than one.
That is interesting to me, too. Huh. Okay.
I hope you all find each other. That's neat. Like, your Venn diagram feels very specific. So.
Yeah. The Half of It, which just came out recently.
Yep. Thelma and Louise.
I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So one message we got about Thelma and Louise from Shepherd's Road Trip, they said Thelma and Louise saw it 9 times in a theater and wept every time. That sounds familiar.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I love that movie.
I haven't seen it.
What?
Ah, I'm sorry.
Get out of here. Oh, interesting. You should watch it. Wow. I'm kind of surprised.
Are you? I don't know. I feel like I don't keep up with film very...
Keep up? This literally came
out 30
years ago.
I know. Okay, wait. 30 years ago. Never. I've never kept up with film very well.
I'm not keeping up on the recent releases. Wait. Thelma and Louise, it literally came out almost 30 years ago, right? Yes. 1991.
Fine. Wow. Great. I'll see it on its 30th anniversary.
Okay, cool. Good. You should. You should watch it because I think I would consider it a classic. Not necessarily like lesbian cinema, but just like good cinema.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good relationships.
I feel like I've seen it just from references. I know.
Know.
It's
not, you probably know enough, but it's a good film and the actors are incredible.
I know how it ends.
You sure about that? Yeah.
Unless they parachute out of it. Spoiler. Unless they parachute out, then I know how it ends.
Their car turns into a spaceship and they fly off.
That's nice. Yeah.
All right, resuming our regularly scheduled program, the next movie in the list is 120 BPM.
Booksmart, which I also love. Thank you for suggesting this. Great. Yeah.
Fleabag, incredible.
La La Land.
Lost in Delirious, like I mentioned.
The Handmaiden.
And The L Word, which actually only got...
The L Word, yeah.
It didn't
I'm
get
surprised.
As much as I... Yeah, that and Orange is the New Black also, like, surprised mm-hmm. that. But, you know, we asked a very specific question. Maybe more people love those shows, but impact has more, you know, weight.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I feel like The L Word has, at least I assumed that The L Word had impacted a lot of lesbians. So I take it back. I don't
know. But yeah. Maybe in a different way. Yeah. Maybe in a, like, I'm angry at Jenny way.
Well, I feel like I've heard so many stories of people like secretly watching it on their laptops when they're like figuring out that they're gay or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we should also mention that percentage wise, the ones that we just listed were still less than 2%. So you'll see where we're going with this. Maybe. I don't know where we're going with this, but we'll get there.
Okay, yeah.
So at about a little over 3%, we just have 2 films that fall into this category. Can you guess what they are? I'll give you a second. The first one is, drumroll please, Call Me By Your Name.
And the second one, well, I mean, they're tied. It's not like first or second in this category, but, and also Moonlight.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have some comments that we should also talk about. Call Me By Your Name got several votes and Grace messaged us saying, can we talk about Call Me By Your Name and the similarities people draw between it and Portrait. I wasn't nearly as impacted by Call Me By Your Name and I'm curious to hear from folks who found them to be similarly gutting. So yeah, I would love to hear from folks too because I thought it was a beautiful film. I appreciated it, but definitely I would not describe it as gutting for me.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
Same, but I also watched it like on the back of an airplane seat. So
no.
Probably not the best way for me to experience any film.
That's the film you chose for, wow.
I hadn't seen it yet, and we had like 8 hours, so.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
I still cried, like.
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah.
So you were sort of gutted.
Oh, totally, yeah. I mean, not as gutted, but.
Okay.
I cry a lot, whatever. I cried at like my octopus teacher 3 times, whatever.
Apparently everyone cries in that, oh, that one, good. So.
Have you seen it?
I haven't because I love cephalopods and I'm really worried that, like, I don't want to cry.
You'll love them more. I mean.
I don't think I could love them more. I mean, did you cry like happy tears or sad tears?
Oh, they were sad.
No, I don't want to watch
it. Yeah, okay.
So I guess the question is, if you were gutted by Call Me By Your Name, like, let us know what that Venn diagram looks like for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would be interested. And Moonlight?
Yeah, let's talk about Moonlight. Snuggly Bug said, Moonlight is the only other one, and even then, it wasn't like this.
Mm-hmm. And Valerie Complex said her favorites were Moonlight, Orlando, Dancer in the Dark, and as she said on a previous podcast, Moonlight is number one, and Portrait is actually number two. Yeah, I can see this. Actually, my big question is like, oh my gosh, Dancer in the Dark? Have you seen Dancer in the Dark?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes! It ruined my life!
Oh my god. Have you seen...
Yes, I saw Dancer in the Dark. I saw it in theaters, and it destroyed me on a level that I can't even articulate because it was so deeply effective and like, it's like psychological torture porn or something. It's where you just feel this like emptiness inside, for me anyway.
Yeah.
It just feels really manipulative.
It is emotionally manipulative. Like it's masterfully manipulative. If you don't know, should we say what it's about? I'll give the summary.
Okay, go ahead.
So picture Bjork.
Picture Bjork.
She's a single mother, right, who loves Hollywood musicals. She breaks out into song occasionally because she loves them so much. She is secretly losing her eyesight, so she's going blind. And her son, she finds out that her son could also go blind the way she is, unless he has some kind of operation soon. It costs money. She almost has, I think. And then, like, I think this is all in the summary, but anyway, she gets into a dispute with a neighbor, and that's where I'll leave it.
Oh my god.
It's just gutting. Like, Bjork as a blind single mother who loves Hollywood musicals is just, like, on its own as a sentence. Like, it's ripping my soul. It's just squeezing my soul into a little pulp.
They really set it up for you to feel, like, the worst ever. I mean, I have to say Bjork's performance was incredible.
Yeah.
If you love to suffer, this movie is for you.
Yeah. If you don't have any faith in humanity and you would like that to be reaffirmed, this is for you.
I think on many levels it is an incredible film.
Yeah,
I can understand why it would be someone's favorite. It's like someone who really appreciates film and Bjork, I can see. I think it's a hard one.
Yeah, I have like a mental list of things that I only need to watch once. Like, I'm glad that I watched it.
Yeah.
But I don't think I ever need to see it again because I don't think I could take it, and this is definitely one of them.
Yeah. Even just hearing you read or talk about the synopsis, I was like,
feels sad. Excellent casting though with like Bjork,
you know. Yeah, it's like my feelings about it are not sadness, it's like existential dread or something.
Yeah. It hits deep anyway. But Orlando is good, like is great.
Oh, yes. Orlando's so great.
Anyway, but of course, like Valerie would have amazing movie choices. So
yes,
this is a really cool list.
Before we talk about the last two, I'm not going to say films because one of them's not a film.
Responses.
Yeah, responses. One other sort of theme we noticed in these responses is that a lot of the films that people found impactful or like similarly impactful was related to kind of what you were talking about, like contextually, because they saw it when they were much younger and so probably more impressionable. And so, for example, Carrie Fornia said, Lost in Delirious was pretty intense when I was a teenager.
Marswell 17 said, Alice Wu films. I actually liked the last one she did, which was The Half of It. Also, Kissing Jessica Stein, just because it was my first time.
And then M. Wayland said, when I was younger, probably Buffy. And in the last year, films by Chantel Ackerman.
Paula Gronwald said, not similarly, but with impact as a young girl, Cider House Rules and Lost in Translation.
Yeah. T-A-L-P-Z said The X-Files many, many years ago. So that might not be when they were actually young, but the many, many years ago to me fell into like this category.
Well, younger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Not older.
Cool. What?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. So coming in at 17% of your votes or mentions was nothing. The response was nothing compares to Portrait. So that was 17%, which I think is interesting because it means like there's nothing in the playing field, right, at all. Nothing even close.
Yeah.
So we'll read some of these comments because they were very entertaining.
Could we just read the whole list?
So we're going to read the list of
this is gonna be
no
great.
Responses okay. That fall into the 17%. So the first one's no, question mark?
No, never.
No.
No.
That was a capital N-O.
Yeah, capital N-O, exclamation point.
No.
From Carm Hollis. No. Portrait, even without a desired ending, it makes sense. It validates a true love through time.
Next one's no.
None.
Next one's honestly nothing.
No. Not like this one.
And then from Freshesa, Portrait is the only one. Heh heh.
And then none.
Next one's not even close.
Then nope.
And then no.
And then none.
And then from Gencyclopedia Brown, impacted yes, similarly, hell no.
And then from Jessica Mishlove, no other film has destabilized me or so personally impacted me as much as Portrait has.
Next one is, nope, nothing like Poloff.
And then no, absolutely not.
And the next one is no, exclamation mark.
And then nothing comes close.
And then no.
And then nope.
Then no.
And then from Ski T, no other. Portrait was the most beautiful film I've ever seen, and nothing else can even compare.
Next is not the way this has.
And then no.
And then nothing comes even close.
And then never, period. Cool, thanks. Got
Thank
it.
You. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I get that for sure. All right. The last one, which I think you all can guess what it is, coming in at a whopping 20.25% of the mentions is, you want to do the honors?
Carol.
I thought you were going to get like all operatic about it. Like, Carol. It's true. It's Carol.
It's Carol.
It's Carol.
Big surprise.
Yeah. So going to read a couple of the responses that mention Carol from Harry Bon Bon. Carol made me go crazy too. I watched it 4 times in the cinema.
And then from Shayna Loves Food, Carol, I guess. But then they also add, when I saw Carol, I was struck by the cinematic beauty. Cate Blanchett, hello. And They Live.
When I first read that, I was like, They Live? Like, isn't there a horror film called They Live? And then I was like, oh, right, They Live. Spoiler alert, they do live.
Unless they meant They Live. But yeah, the horror of, yeah.
There's a lot to unpack with this one, Shayna, but we appreciate this because I agree. Hello, Cate Blanchett, for sure. If you don't follow Dyke Blanchett on Instagram, I highly recommend that Instagram account. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Great choice. It's a beautifully done film. Great acting, great story.
Great costumes, great way that Cate Blanchett looks at Rooney Mara. Great not having a tragic ending. Yes. Okay, so aside from film, because we didn't ask just film, we said film or other media, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we got some pretty cool responses there. We got some books, we got some people, we got one Instagram account.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll share some of that with you. So books include from BMD JK Toke.
JK T Oak? I don't know.
JK T Oak. Yes. The one that comes to mind is a book, Sea of Light by Jennifer Levin.
From Kate the Cunning, we get all books, The Color Purple, Bastard Out of Carolina, and Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit.
And then Millennial Actress said The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson.
And Stace Your Face said Not Since the Harry Potter Books When I Was Growing Up.
Xena Joy said A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara literally broke me. And I don't know if you've read that, but it not dissimilar to Dancer in the Dark destroyed me for a while. That's a tough read.
I couldn't read it. Yeah. Like it got suggested to me by the internet several times. And I read the summary and I was like, I think this is beautiful, but no, I can't.
No. Yeah. It's incredible writing. It's really, really, really
like
hard.
Even just the cover. Like I know. You know, like, oh God.
Well, it's funny because it's not funny, but I got the ebook for my Kindle. And so I didn't see the cover and I didn't really know much about it. Someone just recommended without any context. And then I was like, like goodbye world. It was a lot. It was really heavy. Yeah. But it's a good book.
Cool. Okay, cool. Yeah. We also thought it was cool that a few of you mentioned, instead of specific films, you called out directors, which I would do for Celine Sciamma now. We mentioned earlier, Marswall 17 mentioned Alice Wu.
And then I think as we also mentioned, M. Wayland mentioned Chantal Ackerman.
Yep. And then they also mentioned Lucretia Martel and Vera Chaitalova, even though none of them had the impact that Portrait had.
Yeah. I think Lucretia Martel is an Argentine filmmaker and Vera is Czech, I believe.
And then the last one that we got was actually an Instagram account, which was great. Great interpretation of this question. And this one comes from Camille PTT. They said the Instagram account Sappho Sutra.
Nice.
And that's the show. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Woo!
Thanks for all of your responses. They brought joy to my life, our lives.
No, just your life.
Just my life.
My life, too.
Yeah.
It's true. So next week, we plan to cover the first moment in the film that took your breath away.
And we're also going to talk about the scene that had the most impact on you from the film.
And maybe which scenes you skip in the film, if any. We'll see. We like to keep you on your toes. So I guess, did we leave anything out? But really, our question for you is, in regards to Call Me By Your Name, but also really any other film, if you want to add anything to that, like talk about, you know, what is that Venn diagram for you between that other film or other films and Portrait? Yep. And you want to share anything, please write to us. We're available on various platforms through Pigeon Mail.
And email. You can email us at podcastofaladyonfire@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at podcastofaladyonfire and Twitter at POALOF podcast.
And then if you are enjoying the podcast, please consider rating us on Apple Podcasts. And if you have given us a rating or left us feedback, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Thank you once again. Thank you for contributing and thank you for listening. Talk to you next week.
See ya.